Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, all unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Thumma alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala alayna kitabu mubeen. All unqualified praise is due to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear. وَكَانَ أَخْرُ مَا نَزَلَ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ الدِّينَ. And he revealed in the last ayah, this day have I perfected for you your way of life. I have completed my favor upon you, and I have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. To him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ. In his hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And he has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that our leader Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is his slave, servant, and his messenger. We pray, Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad wa ala alihi and upon his family wa sahbihi and upon his companions, ajma'in, all of them. Wa ya yuhal muslimun, and to you, O Muslims, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa jumu'a mubarak. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. وَدَرَّبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَالنَّفْسِيَّ خَلْقًا. An expression of this is, and they strike similitudes for us, but forget their own creation, or he forgets his own creation. Report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, لَا يُؤْمِنُوا أحدكم حتى يكون حواه تبعا لما جئت به. He said that not one of you is a believer until his desires are subservient to what I have brought. صدق رسول الله وصدق الله العظيم وصدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Alhamdulillah, today we continue on the subject, the five essentials or the five obligations for building Ummah. Those five have been identified by consensus of the scholars over the history and study of Al-Islam, that they are family, intellect, religion, the self, and also property. We are touching on, and literally that's all we can really say, touching on each one of those in this series. This is the third portion relative to the self, relative to the self. We're not going in an order that says family first, then intellect, then religion, then self, then property. We chose to speak to self. We've already spoke to family under this title. And today we're going to focus on the first of the three nafs, and that is nafs al-amar. Nafs al-amar. I believe most of us have been exposed to the idea of the three nafs, nafs al-amar, nafs al-lawama, nafs al-mutma'inna, these three. And these three effectively constitute the components for the totality of the nafs as regard the human being. We have the nafs al-amar. We want you to understand that it's a state and condition. It's just like when we're born, right? Or rather, before we're born, what starts is the sperm meets the egg, and that fertilized egg becomes a zygote, all right? So the elements that came together created something else. They got a different name. You got a zygote, and then the zygote becomes a fetus. Same thing, evolving, name changing, right? And then after, of course, after the fetus, then, of course, you get the baby. The baby is born, and so they're a baby for a while. And then they become an infant, and then they become a child, and then they become an adult. So there's this constant evolution that goes on, and a different name at each stage. So there's a destiny for us as human beings. There's a destiny for us as nafs. And these three are the major stopping points, let's say, the major benchmarks for our growth and development. Each one of them calls for a perception, an understanding, and a protocol, a process, which is best suited for that stage. We go back to when we spoke of family, we used the athar of Ali radiallahu anhu, where he says, لَعِبُهُمْ لِسَبْعٍ مُعَادِبُهُمْ لِسَبْعٍ وَخَالِلُهُمْ لِسَبْعٍ. Play with them for 7 years, teach them the adab for 7 years, and then be their friend for 7 years. Each one of these stages represents stages that have their requirements in order to reach maturity in that state and move on to the next state. Then there's a requirement. So Ali abstracted for us, mashallah, he abstracted for us, okay, during the first 7 years, the main focus is play. The second 7 years, the main focus is teach them the order, the laws, the rules, the adab. And now I'll say the discipline, teach them the discipline. And then the third stage is a stage that calls for friendship. And that stage, from the perspective of human beings and human development, then you have the issue of friendship and socialization. And so that's pointed to as what's best for them. I think he's going to need to be accommodated. I haven't seen my brother for a while. Hanif, yes, assalamu alaikum. So, Ahi, can you move up to the next chair right next to you? Blue hat. You can go to the one right next to you. I see you got your own challenges, mashallah. May Allah comfort all of us. You're good. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. May Allah comfort you, my brother. May Allah bless you. Alhamdulillah. So our community is challenged. as we grow. That also comes. Just take that chair out. I'm sorry to have to direct this like this. Just take it out. And just find out which side he wants to be on. Do you want to be in the chair, behind you or in front of him? Yeah. As soon as you get settled, you can continue to think about what I'm talking about. So when he gets settled, I can start all over again. So give you a chance to process what you've heard so far, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. So each one of these phases, if we were speaking medically, each one of those phases has a very critical requirement to that is what is required to do what is best at each one of those stages. At those stages, take for example a pregnant woman. She just realized that she's pregnant, right? And so, therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, and might I add as going forward, where Allah said he created you in the wombs of your mother evolving through three veils of darkness. There's another three. That clearly relates to this, but I want to go ahead and make that connection. That in terms of, so there's a certain way that a mother who's pregnant, she has to behave in a certain way. She has to be concerned about certain things. Because of the fact that you're in a different state than you were before you knew you were pregnant or before you became pregnant. Okay, now there's a way that you have to be because you are pregnant. If you want this zygote, if you want this baby to realize its full destiny, to realize its full term of full development. And I say that in going forward, Allah creates in the wombs as he pleases, and he knows what reaches full term, and he knows what falls short. So, mashallah, it's all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, quote-unquote, normally, for us, there is something that is required of us at each state. Here's the thing. With us as Muslims, when we say, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenukum, Allah says, I have perfected for you your way of life. Allah is saying, listen, I'm going to do you a favor, my complete favor, is I'm going to tell you how to be at every stage of your life. I'm going to, Allah, the creator of us, I'm going to give you, God, no, none of us have ever done that. We have a former professor in the house. I know when they gave tests, I know that they would be pretty ticked off if they knew somebody was passing out the answers to the test that they were about to take, because you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to take the test based on what you have been taught to see how you perform and not have any kind of cheat sheets or anything like that. But Allah, the creator of us, what he's saying is, yes, life is a test, but I'm going to give you all the answers. Come on now. And it's like, hey, Masha, I just got to keep going. Because this is God who created us. So let's okay, so tell some of the information, brother. Okay, here we go. So, speaking to nafs al-amara, which has its requirements, which is what the substance of what we'll be speaking to today is. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. وَمَا أُبَارِيُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَعَمَارَةُ بِسُوءٍ إِلَّا مَا رَحْمَ رَبِّي إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ صدق الله العظيم. This is from Surah Yusuf, and it says, nor do I absolve myself of blame. Big part of nafs al-awama, but not today, but big part of nafs al-awama is this statement right here where he says, I do not absolve myself of blame, meaning I feel my bad. I recognize I have my faults, my shortcomings. I'm not a self-justifier. And then he explains, by the grace of Allah, this is Allah's revelation, Allah says, "Inna nafsa la'amaratu bisu'in." It says, surely, the translator says, the human soul is certainly prone to evil. All right? course, that's not our preferred translation, but it said, "Inna an-nafs al-amaratu bis-su'i illa ma rahima rabbi." So God does qualify. Say, yeah, it's true. Left alone, without discipline, without guidance, without following the rules that I have intended for you in this life, yes, you're going to be moving in an evil direction. But it's not because your nature is evil. It's because you have not mastered your own self and its powers. And you're not in the position at this point, at nafs al-amarat, you're not in a position to manage that manifests in ways that are unredeeming, that are unproductive, that are not socially helpful or beneficial. If that doesn't get corrected, then you're going to continue in a very evil direction. MashaAllah, I have to say that it's just true. If you have children that are under three and even under two, then you can actually see nafs al-amarat at work there. I mean, you want to see some of the greediest, don't get it wrong. I'm going slow. That in terms of appetite driven, let's just do it like that. Appetite driven, meaning I want what I want it now, when I want it, I don't care what you're doing, I don't care what you think I shouldn't have, I want it now. And if I don't get it, I'm going to explode. And I'm going to punish you with my tears and with my crying until I get what I want. So that's a little small model of nafs al-amarat. I want what I want. That's nafs al-amarat. I want to be in charge. I want to be in command. I don't want to have to discipline my appetite at all. And so social development, social requirements, socialization calls for, if that child has not learned to manage their own appetites and desires by the time they're 4 years old, then they are going to be irredeemably lost to society. Because the next requirement for socialization is the willingness for the society to socialize that child. But if the child is unwilling to be disciplined and, mitigated in their desires and appetites, nobody would. Other children won't play with them. Other adults don't want to be bothered with them. Except, which means nobody is trying to socialize them, because it requires that cooperation in order to get socialization. But if the child is so uncooperative that children don't want to play with them and adults don't want to be bothered with them, then the child is left to whatever the design is, and it's not a good design. The prisons are filled with those who did not get that socialization during their early years. So this nafs al-amarat, illa ma rahma rabbi, except the one who received the mercy from their Lord. So we talk about rahma, of course, we talk arham, it means the wombs. And now in this context, and we can understand mothering, except those that receive mothering. MashaAllah, in that same analogy, men, we're not the ones. Please, just get it straight. Just get it straight. No. We haven't been given the nature, the predisposition, the orientation to give a child what they need for socialization. You can try. You can think you can. No. A woman has to be involved in that socialization. Because there's only so much, and we don't have, here's some of the things that we don't have. We don't have the patience. If you be honest with yourself, you know, okay, until you blow up. I was patient for a year, you know, and then the headlines are filled with the rest of what we, mashallah, is so horrible to hear, but that's what happens. So this is also why marriage is so very important. But the woman, the arham, she has the mercy. She has the mercy. She has the compassion. She has the patience. See, we Not me. Let me put it like me. Maybe there's some other guys that are like this. But, and let me just stick with me. It's like, okay, I'm patient. I'm speaking from a grandchild, grandfather perspective, and all of them are in that range, right? All the ones that I'm thinking of, they're in that two to seven range. And man, if you want to see human nature at work, you get about 3, 4, 5 grandchildren together and just sit there and observe. You're going to learn a lot about human psychology and about human nature, about child psychology. You will learn a lot. So in terms of having to negotiate and having to work out, you know, it's her turn. No, it's his turn. Well, who had it first? Then you got one who has a temperament to give in, another who has a temperament not to give in, and then you got to figure out how, out of the available resources, what's the best way to settle this situation in order that you can get back, speaking of myself, in order for you to be able to get back to what you need to get back to, okay, in addressing this matter. So I do the best I can. Alhamdulillah, nobody gets hurt. Everybody's still sound and solid. But then when grandma returns, oh man, you probably relieved. It's like, good, you got it, right? And so those same tears and that same crying and wailing and et cetera, she can say things in a way when it comes from a mother that doesn't come across to them as harsh as it does if I said the same thing to them. I said something different because it's coming from a male as opposed to a female, right? And there's a different relationship. Wattaqullah wal arham. Arham is relationships too. So we have to parent through those relationships. And when we do that, but we're not going to go back. We're not going to go back to family. Impulse control is the thing that I want to focus on because that's what nafs al-amara. It's all about impulses. We just finished Ramadan. Kutiba alaykum as-siyama kama kutiba ala alladhin min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you in order that you will learn, translator says, self-restraint. Taqwa is the term. Taqwa and self-restraint essentially is quote-unquote the same, especially in this context. And it really means self-discipline. It really means self-discipline. And that fasting in the month of Ramadan is we are managing and restraining the most powerful, instinctual, impulsive forces in our being. The sexual drive, the food, the appetite, right? Drink. These are necessities that our body calls for. It calls for these things, and these are urges that our body is trying to satisfy naturally all the time. And especially these that are restrained during Ramadan, they are those that, well, I have a right. I mean, literally, it's like I have a right. If I don't procreate, then that's the end of us, right? If I don't eat or drink, that's also the end of us. So it's usually given freedom during the quote-unquote non-Ramadan month, a freedom that it's not giving during the month of Ramadan, and they are the most powerful and legitimate appetites, impulses, urges, desires in our being. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says restrain them for 29 or 30 days. What is that? That's exercise in self-discipline. And if you can manage those urges, you can manage those impulses for that period of time, you come out of that, we come out of that more powerful as a human being to manage all the other impulses that have their way of sneaking up on us, if you will, or taking charge of us, if you will, in the other months. Now we have more spiritual muscles, more moral muscles, more cognitive muscles, more muscle to be able to manage those impulses. So those impulses are not only are those that the three that we mentioned, eating, drinking, procreation, not only are they more under the authority of Al-Islam and our will to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are also now stronger to be able to suppress those other urges and impulses that may present themselves at times and in ways that could undermine our well-being and be, again, problematic for society. So it's an annual exercise of self-restraint, an annual exercise of self-control, an annual exercise of impulse control. Why? Because you need impulse control 24 hours a day. You need impulse control 24 hours a day. And we need to become stronger and stronger and stronger in order to manage those impulses for the progress that we need to and hope to make. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we read, says none of you is a believer until his desires, that is his impulses, until they follow what I have brought. So the job is to get our impulses to line up and submit to and conform to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought. What has he brought? He's brought the Quran and he's brought his example. And our job is to get our impulses to cooperate, to obey, to follow the disciplines that are dictated in and revealed in the Quran and the life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we read the Quran and when we read the life model of Prophet Muhammad and his reports, etc., these are instructions. This is what you're supposed to do. For what? In order to move from nafs al-amara, in order to move to nafs al-lawama, in order to move to nafs al-mutma'inna. But nafs al-amara, you have to get past that stage first. And in the Surah Yusuf, it said nobody gets there without the rahmat of Allah, without the mercy of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gives that, we get a report. Let's take the report from Aisha radiallahu anh, where it said, about Aisha, it says the Prophet was with Aisha when Safiya sent a wooden bowl in which was some food. Aisha struck the hand of the Prophet and the bowl fell and broke. The Prophet picked up the two pieces, put them together, and then he started gathering up the food and said to the servant who was there, he said, your mother got jealous. So he saved the food well enough to eat from it. So they ate. He waited until she brought the wooden bowl that was in her house, and then he gave the sound bowl to the one who had brought the meal and then left the broken bowl in the house of the one who had broken it, that is, of course, Aisha. Aisha was narrating this also. She said, I never saw a woman who made food like Safiya. She sent a dish to the Prophet in which was some food, and I could not keep myself from breaking it due to jealousy. I asked the Prophet, what is the expiation for that? He said, a dish like that dish and food like that food. Another report from Aisha radiallahu anha about Aisha. No, it's from her as well, but it's about her as well. Aisha, she said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had gone out of their house during the night and she felt jealous. Then when he came, he saw on me, this is Aisha speaking, he saw on me the agitated state of mind that I was in. He said, oh, Aisha, what has happened to you? Do you feel jealous? Thereupon she said, how can it be that a woman like me should not feel jealous in regard to a husband like you? Thereupon Allah's messenger, peace be upon him, he said, that was your devil. It's translated as jinn sometimes as shaitan. And sometimes jinn is translated also as shaitan. But in this report, it said, it's your devil who has come to you. And she said, Allah's messenger, is there along with me a devil? He said, yes. And I said, is there a devil attached to everyone? He said, yes. Aisha again said, O messenger of Allah, is it with you? He said, yes. But my Lord has helped me against him such that I am absolutely safe from his mischief. And the report of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says that there's not one of you who has not been, not one of you, none of the children of Adam, no one born but there is a jinn attached to them. There's a jinn attached to them. This movie, the Nicole Kidman, the little creatures, everybody walks along and there's a creature. The clock and the wolf in the wardrobe, is that it? I don't know. Whatever. There is a movie where everybody in this world has a little creature that's with them wherever they go. And the creature is them, that an aspect of them, and whenever this, when the person gets angry, the little creature gets angry. So the little creature is like that. So that is also an analogy of the jinn. We all have attached to us something, if you will, that reflects and that influences us through and is reflected in our mind states, heart states, spirits. In fact, I'll read from an old reported Cherokee Native American story. You probably heard this in different forms. An elder Cherokee Native American was teaching his grandchildren about life. He said to them, "A fight is going on inside me. It is a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One wolf represents fear, anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, competition, superiority, and ego. The other stands for joy, peace, love, hope, sharing, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, friendship, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. This same fight is going on inside of you and inside of every other person, too." The grandchildren thought about it for a minute, and then one child asked the grandfather, "Which wolf is going to win?" The old Cherokee replied, "The one you feed. The one you feed." I want us to understand, each of that list, which is not a complete list, each of that list represents an attribute, a quality, through which the jinn can manifest and operate in you. Your jealousy, your envy, your anger, your impatience, your arrogance. When I say yours, our, we're all in the same party. Right? So if you don't manage those urges, you don't manage those impulses, if you don't manage those proclivities, which is a part of all of us, meaning each of us has the, it's called, in fact, in other writings, it's called universal experiences. And when you understand scientifically, quote unquote, universal experiences for a human being, it means it is a way of saying that it's human nature. Universal experience, what? Love. What is it? It's human nature. Right? Envy. And I guess I got to clarify that a little more. The prophet said that there's not one of you, but there's a jinn attached to you. He didn't say there's a jinn in you. There's a jinn attached to you. Right? So it's not, a jinn is not human nature. There's the jinn, there's the angels, and there's the human being. You remember that? Iblis was a jinn. And the jinn give rise to the shaitan. So the potential for us coming under satanic influences is a product of our lack of impulse control. Let's just make it plain. If you lack impulse control, mashallah, mashallah, let's go back to the movies, as I often do. The vampire is telling, it's fiction, but fiction is preserving a truth. The vampire cannot come into your house without your invitation. Dracula can come to the door hey, how you doing? Yo, you don't know you're Dracula, right? He said, I'm good. He said, can I come in? As soon as you let him in, well, you invited him in. But is that not the Quran? Satan says, I only have the power to call, and you responded. I have no power but the power you give me. So there's something about us that gives Satan power? Yeah, your undomesticated impulses, your unmanaged urges, your unqualified desires. So now can't you see how the society, they have commercials, they're all designed to break down self-control. If it feels good, do it. Just do it. Aren't you hungry for Burger King now? Don't judge. Just enjoying the fine life, baby. The best plans, no plans. All that's what? So you can lower the gates. So Shaitan, now he's in. He's in. But he got in through our inability to have taqwa. Taqwa is an inward guarding consciousness. Taqwa is like a sentry at the gate, S-E-N-T-R-Y. Taqwa is like a sentry at the gate, and when something comes to the gate, taqwa says, halt, who goes there? Let me take a look at you. You look good. That's fine. I think I know you, but man, we got a couple things I got to check out first before I let you in. So while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi and these two examples from Aisha only speak to jealousy, I want us to understand that every one of those unredeeming impulses that, as mentioned in the Cherokee story, each one of them represents a door for Shaitan. I know at the Kaaba, you have the Bab of this and the Bab of that and the Bab of that. You have different doors. They're all doors of righteousness, right? Well, we also have doors that Shaitan tries to get through. And those doors have to do with which of our impulses do we not have under management. The less we have those impulses under management, the more opportunities Shaitan has to get into us. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, he said, now Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, none of you can believe until your inclinations follow what I have come to you with. So Imam speaking, he says, so what is the connection? Your inclinations are your spirits, plural. Not one spirit, your spirits. Today I have a spirit to eat. Tonight I have a spirit to sleep. In the morning I'll have a spirit to go somewhere. We've got a lot of spirits, don't we? We've got to train all of our spirits into obedience to the will of God. When all those spirits conform in obedience to the will of God, when all those spirits conform in obedience to the will of God, then we are dominated by what? Something from the Ruh of God, from the Spirit of God. There are many ways to approach this, but this is one way. I hope you see it clearly. The Imam pointed out, and this is what I am eager for us to understand today. The reports from Aisha, as an example, okay, it establishes. It establishes for us that these unredeeming qualities, jealousy, for example, can lead to behavior that are, again, socially unredeeming. It's like it's not good to be jealous and, of course, and then act in such a way that it's not socially beneficial. Food is being shared, gift is being brought. Because of your jealousy, you seek to destroy the gift and deprive the individuals that the gift is intended for. All that bad behavior, to put it lightly. But that's not the only quality that leads to that kind of behavior. All of those qualities, ignorance, arrogance, a sense of self-importance, fear, anxiety, all of those could lead to behaviors that undermine your good and the good of society. So therefore, in order to build ummah, each one of us has to be solid in ourselves. Each one of us has to be strong in order to build ummah. See, mean? If I see weakness in you that is socially unredeeming, then I have some obligation to try to curb that in its influences. I'm not. It's not my job to get inside you and, okay, rearrange the furniture in your brain. No, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, help your brother when he's right and help your brother when he's wrong. So they understood how to help him when he's right, but how do we help him when he's wrong? You have to pull him back from the wrongdoing. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm telling you, the Prophet gave us all the answers to the test. The thing is that, okay, well, how do we do that? The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stop it with your hand. But if you can't stop it with your hand, then speak out about it. But if you can't speak out about it, at least feel bad about it in your heart. But know that that's the weakest of faith. So we have a mutual responsibility. Because look, if we are brothers and sisters in this ummah building project, then both of us come to the project with mutual obligation. Every time we say, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, every time we say that, we're saying the obligation for the establishment of peace is on you, and we're saying, yeah, and it's on you too. Basically, that's what we're saying. But if we're not conscious of that, taqwa, if we're not conscious of that, when we interact with each other after the freedom from a disciplined situation like this, we stop paying attention. If we're not taqwa, if we're not conscious, we stop paying attention to this and start speaking in ways that are contrary to ummah building. You may backbite, you may slander, you may express envy and jealousy and arrogance, etc., over and against your brother or your sister. That's where the ummah building happens, not at Juma, it's after Juma. It's when no Muslim is around. So this is what we have to learn. This is why we have to pay attention in our own self. رَبَّنَا عَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر الله. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in his farewell address, he says, beware of Satan for the safety of your religion. He has lost all hope. Alhamdulillah. I hope you have your, every year we play the message in Laylatul Qadr, right? And I want you to bring to mind that moment in the movie, because it is so visual, where everybody's listening to the Prophet and the Prophet is giving his last address. He's giving his farewell speech. He said, I don't know if I'm going to see you next year. Right? And so everybody, they're listening. This is after the quote-unquote conquest of Mecca. This is the end of it. So the Prophet is giving everyone then and for eternity. That wasn't a speech just for then and for the 21st century. A trillion years from now, if the planet still exists, a trillion years from now, that address will be carrying the same force. And think about this. The world will still need that advice. That's a hell of a thing to think about right there. The world will still need advice. Watch this. Both Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and the other guy, Virgin Atlantic guy, Branson, all of them are talking about interplanetary human habitation. All of them. One wants to live on the moon, another one live on Mars. I don't know where the other one lives. But they all try, like the Earth is just going to be a place for lower level things. All the higher level, they're working on this right now. Okay, so what if you take that racism with you? So you're going to have Martian racism. You're going to have, you know, it's like you're going to have the same problem. But now you spread the stuff out interplanetary. That's why some people have this apocalyptic view, just kill all human beings because we're the disease. But of course, that's not right. Let's move on. So the idea is that the Prophet's message, he said, be mindful of Satan, because Satan, al-yawma ya'is al-ladina, اليوم يائس الذين كفروا من دينكم. That first portion of it starts like that. This day have the rejectors given up all hope of your religion. I said, man, we can't do nothing with him now. It's just, that's done. But Allah said, but don't fear them, fear me. And then, al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. So the point is, the Prophet, peace be upon him, is saying this about shaitan. He said, we have whooped shaitan's butt. He's done. Your presence here and now, your spirit and your attitude is a statement of the fact that we have won in this moment. So he has given up all hope of affecting you. So watch out for him, for the safety of your religion, because Satan is not one that gives up. Satan, well, we lost that one. We'll take that L. No. That's why we're still fighting right now, right? So it says he has lost all hope that he will ever be able to lead you astray in big things. So beware of following him in small things. Okay? What are the small things? For today's conversation, impulses. Watch out for shaitan in your impulses. See, there are things about us, me, every one of us, each one of us. Each one of us have things about ourselves that we like and really like. Right? Help him out right now. Okay. That we really like. Those are the ones that can get you. Oh, I'm smart. That can get you. Oh, I'm handsome. That can get you. Oh, I'm strong. That can get you. Oh, I'm rich. That can get you. Oh, I'm poor. That can get you. There's always something that can get you. Hide yourself. I'm telling you, you can sit down and make a list. There's so many jokes, but some of them not for mixed company right now. But listen, the idea is every good thing. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever has an atom's weight of pride will not see paradise. And if somebody in the audience said, oh, yeah, it's like so-and-so. He likes, you know, clothes and shoes. And the Prophet said, no, that's not what I'm saying. Say, Allah is beautiful, and Allah loves the beautiful. So it's like, hey, look, if you could, whatever, you should know about it. You know, well, you don't need to be dripping, but you need to have some kind of swag, right? It's okay to have a little something that's swag. You're swaggy, like, you know, it's like, okay, it's all right. I see you. It's good. But the Prophet said, peace be upon him, he said, Allah is beautiful and he loves the beautiful. In fact, he tells us in Jummah, I say, wear your best at Jummah. You're supposed to be beautiful in Jummah. Like, think about it. When you go into a beautiful place, doesn't it make you feel good? When you see people who are beautiful and they are in their beauty, doesn't it make it project a good feeling to you? So then it's a charity to look good for the people. All right, so let's get our charity up on that picture right there, okay? So if people, can I eat, mashallah, eat? Man, I look at really. And I was ready to tear up and cry, et cetera, because I was looking at us, and we were so beautiful. So beautiful. When you see something that's really beautiful, you get awestruck. It's like, and think about it. Any of the beauty in this world does not compare one scintilla. I'll work with that one. To the beauty, and that means that's too big, to the beauty that Allah has preserved for the believer. And when we get to the paradise, we say, this is like what we tasted before. So why don't we give each other a little bit of that paradise when we show up for each other? He said, no, I didn't drop this three-piece for me. It's for y'all. You're welcome. I mean that in the best way, okay? Let's just have some fun, okay? So the idea is for us to recognize, and the rest of that report, Allah is the beautiful and he loves the beautiful. He says arrogance, pride, is holding another person in contempt. In contempt. I know this never happened to any of us, but, you know, if you get held in contempt of court, I'm going to hold you. You say one more thing, I'm going to hold you in contempt. What do you mean, in contempt? Man, there's an honor, there's a respect that you owe to the court. But I'm going to hold you to that debt. And if you don't hold to that debt, I'm going to hold you in contempt. So we are never to think of ourselves and anything that we have and anything that we possess to be a source of our power to put somebody else in contempt. I mean, look at his shoes. Look at how he dresses. He ain't got the kind of money I got. Hey, look at that. Look at family. What family he come from? This family I come from. That's pride. And that's what is not going to paradise. And that is to say, that's just one thing. So we've mentioned about pride. We've mentioned about jealousy. But every other quality that would lead us to think and feel ourselves superior to anybody else is a door for Satan to come in through. So that means we have to watch ourselves. Here's a little protection advice. What is envy and jealousy? Envy and jealousy manifest this way. A painful awareness of a benefit enjoyed by someone in your space, your environment, your experience. A painful awareness of a benefit enjoyed by another, coupled with the desire for that same benefit for yourself. Brother rolled up in a new car. This is not actual history. I'm just talking about example. Brother rolled up in a new car. Still got tags on everything. You see it, so you're looking at it. You're talking about how hot that car is. Man, I like that. So you're just looking at the car, right? And then as it continues to roll and then hear that brother's face line up with yours, and you see it's that brother. Like, he caught you looking. Not only that, I didn't get that. All that starts working, right? Who is that? That's Shaytan. Because you have a painful awareness of a benefit enjoyed by another, but you just showed by how much you like that you wouldn't mind having one. So you just experience your own jealousy, your own envy. All right? So watch out for those impulses. Because that's a door for Shaitan. And then Nafsul Amar, it becomes magnified. You don't get the mercy of Allah. When you feed it, you don't get the mercy of Allah to be able to transcend Nafsul Amar to get to Nafsul Awama. You can't get to Nafsul Awama until you get out of Nafsul Amar. And you can't get out of Nafsul Amar without the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can't do that, as the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until you submit your impulses to what the Prophet has brought. And what does that call for? You have to be able to watch yourself on the inside. Look, everything about us is not good. All of us have khair and shar. All of us have things that we don't want people to see, that we don't want people to know. But don't front like you don't have anything in you like that. Because if you keep deceiving yourself that you have no need for improvement, then you will never go to work on the areas of improvement that you need. I'm good. Really? Let's go back to the movie. When the vampire walked through the town, one of the ways to Van Helsing, one of my favorite little vampire flicks, but walking through the village town market, and he had some suspicion about this person that's following him. Not quite sure. So he walks into the marketplace, and he walks by a mirror. He just don't walk by this mirror. And we go by the mirror, and when that person got in front of the mirror, he looked in the mirror, no reflection. He got no reflection. Why? Because you know he's a vampire. Because the take on the vampire is vampires have no reflection. But remember, that's myth and fiction that's preserving wisdom for those who've been taught. What is a mirror? A mirror is conscience. A mirror is conscience. It's your reflection. See, El Mufakiru. I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to do a whole lot of it today. El Mufakiru. El Mufakiru? Mufakiru is the one who has scientific morality. But fikr has to do with reflection. And how the El Mufakiru is the one who looks at their actions and makes a projection on the basis of how they're acting, and they think that if I act this way, it's going to lead to this. And they get their morality from the object consequences by saying, no, I don't want that as a result. So I am reflecting and projecting, I'm going to act this way and not that way, because the result I'm looking for is not that, but something by way of acting in another way. What is all that? What is all that? Reflection. You thinking about doing something? Let's just say, for example, somebody in their mind right now thinking about doing something that you know you ain't got no business doing. But you're thinking about it. That's a plus. And when I say thinking about me, you're thinking, man, maybe that ain't the right thing to do. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, good. That's reflection. But the other one is the one that says, ain't no shame in my game. Yeah. We don't think, we don't reflect. And the TV commercials for this stuff, too. This Kia Telluride commercial. Look at that commercial. And it tell you, we don't think. We just leap. We just jump. We don't apologize. We double down. That's what the world is telling you. Don't reflect. Don't plan, Snoop. Don't make no plans. The best plan is no plan. All of this is promoting immorality. All this is promoting the amputation of our capacity to even have a good life. They're taking the brakes off. And you see it in East Oakland. I mean, stop sign is only a suggestion in East Oakland. People are losing their brakes. So this taqwa, this consciousness, comes from reflection, and that is the nafs al-awwama. So inshallah, when we get to that part, the nafs al-awwama is the ability to reflect and to have conscience. Right? And when you have that conscience, now you can even accuse yourself. Right? The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Muslim in ra'daqin. The Muslim is the mirror of his brother. So even if you're losing your conscience, and I'm your friend, right? Then Quran tells us, وَتَوَصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. Help your brother if he's right or if he's wrong. But if you're afraid to tell your brother when he's wrong, are you really a friend? No, you're not a friend. And so what that means is that it is a requirement for us to live the religion inside out, to live the religion in detail. The big things, salah, zakat, fasting, eid, this and that, alhamdulillah, everybody got that. But it's the little things, the little backbites, little slanders, the little love drops, the little sarcasms, those little things that fray and undermine like termites in a structure. They undermine the structure because those little termites are eating away at the foundations for the structure itself. So you have to watch out for the little things, because those are the things that destroy the order. رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنتَ الْوَهَّابُ. أَلَا وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Allah, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We beg your forgiveness. We beg your forgiveness. We beg your forgiveness. We know, Allah, your mercy is always and ever present. Oh, Allah, bless us to never take your mercy for granted. Oh, Allah, bless us to become stronger in all ways. Oh, Allah, bless us to grow in taqwa. Bless us to grow in remembering you. Oh, Allah, bless us to grow in learning the ways of the perfect favor that you have blessed us with. Bless us to learn al-Islam in a way that works in our lives in the manner as you intended. Oh, Allah, bless us not to be self-deluded in the religion. Oh, Allah, bless us to grow in this way of life so that we can be greater servants of yours and greater servants towards each other. We beg this of you only for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa akim as-salat. Allahu Akbar. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله استوى استقيم يحمكم الله استبكم الله make our road straight and leave no space between shaitan and darkness our roads are straight our hearts will agree thank you الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تقبل الله. Alhamdulillah. So if you don't make sunnahs, then go ahead and make sunnahs. But don't start conversation on the floor, please. We're going to make a couple of announcements. And we'll be done. Alhamdulillah, we had May birthdays. Aisha, Bashir, Shirley, Ali, Yolanda Mahasin, Shuaib, Anthony Green, London, Marie Craig, Edwards. Alhamdulillah. June 4th is the next Meslawarthing monthly yard sale. And our sympathies to our Al-Mu'adhin and his family, Rashad. His family, his father passed away in Las Vegas on the 18th. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And also we want to keep our brother Mikhail Coffey, mashallah, who suffered a stroke on the 16th. The note says his ties are open, but I think he's being moved. So check in with family before you start considering about visiting. But keep all in our prayers. And each and every one of us, we have to do much to improve our state. I'll just leave it like that. Alhamdulillah, we have Imam Darnell's long-awaited book, The First National Independent Islamic School System in America. This is a witness to history. Now, I think we may only have like 10 of them, maybe now. I'm not sure if we even have that many. The books are only $69. These are books that Harvard, Princeton, Oxford, they look to those kinds of materials to really get the history of a people. When you have someone who has lived that history and they put it in a book, and the book is like 400 pages, something like that. You cannot find this history anywhere else. Nobody has lived this history. Here's one that went as a child to visit Elijah Muhammad in prison with his father, who was in prison with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and who has lived through both of those dispensations, the Elijah Muhammad Nation of Islam and the transition with Imam Waterbani Muhammad Rahimullah until Imam Muhammad passed. It's like, you're not, I don't know who could be a better witness than Imam Darnell, I don't know. And so $69, that's cheap, period, for that history. So inshallah, get it. You should have it just for legacy. No other reason but for legacy. Spend a summer reading if that's what it takes. But it's worth it. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.